Shalom and welcome to Rambam Yomi. This is Rabbi Mati Novik. Join me as we learn the Rambam's Mishnah Torah, one perek each day. Today we'll be learning Hilchot Kiddush HaChodesh Perek Yud Dalet. In the last two prakim, we learned how to calculate the motion of the sun. One perek was devoted to explaining how the sun actually moves, and the next perek discussed how this motion translates into the observed position of the sun from Earth, that is, its makom ha'miti. This perek and the next follow the same pattern for the moon. This perek is devoted to the actual motion of the moon, and the next perek to how we observe it from Earth. But the motion of the moon is more complex than the motion of the sun. Like the sun, the moon is located in its own sphere which revolves around the Earth, with the Earth not exactly at the center of the sphere. This explains why the moon seems to move at variable speeds during its monthly cycle around the Earth, as we saw regarding the sun. But this still left some unanswered questions about the motion of the moon, especially why the moon's distance from Earth fluctuates over the course of a month in a manner inconsistent with a circular orbit. In order to preserve the idea of perfectly circular motion, taken as axiomatic by the ancients about the heavenly bodies, the Greek astronomer Hipparchus concluded that the moon travels in what is called an epicycle within its orbit around the Earth. This was accepted by later Greek astronomers, including Ptolemy, as well as by Muslim astronomers of the Middle Ages. The Rambam learnt about the epicycle of the moon by studying the works of the great al-Battani. And our perek begins with an explanation of how the moon moves. Halacha Aleph. Hayareach shnei malachim emtzayim yeshlo. Hayareach atzmo misabev begalgal katon sheino makif et haolam. Umalacho emtzayi boto agalgal katon nikra emtza hamaslul. Vagalgal katon atzmo misabev begalgal gadol hamakif et haolam. Umalach emtzayi ze shel galgal katon boto agalgal gadol hamakif et haolam hu hanikra emtza hayareach. The moon has two motions. The moon itself revolves in a circle, called an epicycle, around a fixed point. At the same time, this entire epicycle revolves around the Earth, in a larger circle called the deferent. The direction of movement is opposite in the two circles. The entire epicycle travels in the deferent from west to east, just like the sun moves along the ecliptic, while the motion of the moon itself within its epicycle is from east to west. There is an image file accompanying this recording, in which the first diagram illustrates this dual motion of the moon. We note parenthetically that the motion of planets in the sky was also explained using epicycles, but in those cases, the motion along the epicycle and along the deferent are both east to west at very different speeds. This system was used to explain retrograde motion, that is, why planets sometimes seem to reverse direction and then reverse again as they move through the sky. The position of the moon within its epicycle is called Emtza HaMaslul. The position of the center of the epicycle in its orbit around the Earth is called Emtza HaYareach. Note that the combination of these movements makes the moon appear to move further away and closer to Earth, even as its epicycle orbits the Earth, which was consistent with the observations of the ancients. Continuing in Halacha Aleph, Malach Emtza HaYareach biYom Echad, Shlosh Esrei Malot, Vasara Chalakim, Vechamesh Ushloshim Shniot, Simanam, Yud Gimel, Yud Lamed Hei. The Emtza HaYareach, that is, the center of the moon's epicycle in its orbit around the Earth, travels every day an angular distance of 13 degrees, 10 minutes, and 35 seconds. Note that this is far more than the sun travels in a day. At the beginning of Perek Yud Bet, we saw that the sun travels less than 1 degree each day, for the simple reason that the sun completes one revolution in a year, while the moon completes one revolution every month. Here we note an interesting point. The lunar month is about 29 and a half days, so we would think that by multiplying the daily motion of the moon by 29 and a half, we would arrive at 360 degrees, a full circle. But in fact, if we multiply 13 degrees, 10 minutes, and 35 seconds by 29 and a half, we get about 390 degrees, not 360. Why is this? Because recall that the duration of a lunar month is the time from one molad to the next, that is, the time from one moment when the moon is exactly between the sun and the Earth until the next such moment. But at the same time that the moon is revolving around the earth, we know from the last two prakim that so is the sun. And the sun moves about 30 degrees along the ecliptic every month. So by the time the moon travels 360 degrees around the earth, the sun is no longer there, as it has advanced nearly 30 degrees in its orbit. So the new molad occurs only once the moon travels an additional 30 degrees, for a total of 390 degrees of travel between one molad and the next. The implication of this is the fascinating fact that during a Shana Pshuta, consisting of only 12 lunar months, the moon actually makes almost 13 full revolutions around the Earth. Halacha Bet is a catalog of the angular distance traveled by the moon over the course of many different numbers of days. Listed in each case, of course, is only the remainder after division by 360, because every 360 degrees is a full revolution around the Earth. As with the sun in Perek Yud Bet, the Rambam lists how far the moon moves in 10 days, 100 days, 1,000 days, 10,000 days, 29 days, and 354 days. Of course, finding the distance traveled over any other number of days is simply a matter of multiplication and addition. Halacha Gimel. Umalach emtsa hamaslul biyom echad, shlosh esrei malot u'shlosha chalakim v'arba v'chamishim shniot, simanam yud gimel, gimel nun dalid. As for the second motion of the moon, that is, the moon itself orbiting the center of its epicycle, the emtsa hamaslul, this proceeds at a very similar angular speed as the emtsa hayareach, 13 degrees, 3 minutes, and 54 seconds each day. Parallel to what we just saw in Halacha Bet, the rest of this Halacha and the beginning of Halacha Dalid list how much this comes out to for 10 days, 100 days, 1,000 days, 10,000 days, 29 days, and 354 days. Here there arises an interesting question. How exactly do we measure Emtsa HaMaslul, the moon's position within its epicycle? Measuring Hashemesh HaEmtzai and Emtsa HaYareach can be done against the backdrop of the Mazalot, because these are orbits which circle around Earth. 0 degrees is the beginning of Taleh, 30 degrees is the beginning of Shor, etc. But the epicycle of the moon does not contain the Earth inside it, and so what does it even mean to say that the Emtsa HaMaslul measures, say, 30 degrees? 30 degrees from what? The answer can be seen in the second illustration, labeled 14.1, in the image file accompanying this recording. And it will be very important when we learn about another aspect of lunar motion in the next parak. The reference point for lunar motion within the epicycle is the point G, the gova of the epicycle, which is the farthest point in the epicycle from the Earth. The point G is found by drawing a line through Earth and the center O of the epicycle. The point where this line hits the epicycle outside the deferent is G. So when the moon is located at point L, we would measure an Emtsa HaMaslul equal to angle GOL, which is about 60 degrees. Note that Emtsa HaMaslul is measured in the clockwise direction, east to west, unlike Emtsa HaShemesh and Emtsa HaYareach, because this is the direction of the moon's motion along its epicycle. So thanks to Halachot Bet and Gimel, we know exactly how much the moon moves in each of its two types of motion over the course of any number of days. But this knowledge is only useful to compute the location of the moon on any given day if we have a baseline reference point to work with. And so the Rambam tells us, a couple of lines into Halacha Dalid, the position of the Emtsa HaMaslul and of the Emtsa HaYareach on the root date, the Ikar, that we first mentioned back in Perek Yud Aleph. Mekom Emtsa HaYareach haya b'tchilat lel chamishi, shu ha'ikar l'cheshbonot elu, b'mazal shor. Bala achat, v'arba'a sar chalakim, v'shalosh v'arba'im shniot. Simanam, lamad alef, yudalid mem gimel. V'emtza ha-maslul haya b'ikar ze, arba u'shmonim ma'alot, u'shmona v'esrim chalakim, u'shtaim v'arba'im shniot. Simanam, pei dalid, kavchet mem bet. At the beginning of Thursday, the third day of Nisan in the year 4938, the Emtsa HaYareach was located in the Mazal of Shor, the Mazal right after Taleh, which makes sense for a day soon after the beginning of a month when the sun is located in Taleh, as it is in Nisan. The Emsa HaYareach was located 1 degree, 14 minutes, and 43 seconds into the region of this mazal, making its position exactly 31 degrees, 14 minutes, and 43 seconds. The Emsa HaMaslul at the beginning of this day was located at 84 degrees, 28 minutes, and 42 seconds. Again, we emphasize that the Emsa HaMaslul cannot be measured relative to any mazalot. Note that the Rambam doesn't mention any mazal, as he did for the Emsa HaYareach. Rather, it is measured clockwise from the gova of the epicycle. There's nothing more in this perek about the Emsa HaMaslul, but it will be very important in the next perek. Using the position of Emsa HaYareach on the date of the Ikar, and knowing from Halacha Bet exactly how much this position changes over the course of a day or many days, we can calculate the position of Emsa HaYareach for any day at all in the past or future, just as we did for the sun, the Shemesh HaEmtzai, back in Perek Yud Bet. The perek ends in Halacha He with a correction mechanism, which the Rambam first mentioned in Perek Yud Bet, but has not yet explained how to apply. We know how to find the actual location of the sun and of the Emsa HaYareach in their orbits around the Earth at the start of any given day, that is, at the hour in the day which we have been calling 6 o'clock p.m. More precisely, the Rambam tells us in Halacha Vav that this hour is about 20 minutes after sundown during the equinoxes, when day and night are equally long. Since the entire discussion in these prakim relates to Yerushalayim, this indeed works out to a little after 6 o'clock p.m. standard time, or 7 o'clock p.m. daylight savings time. 20 minutes after sundown is the time you're interested in every month of the year, because this is inside the short window of time when the moon is visible at the start of the month. Before then, the sun makes the sky too bright to see the moon, and after that time, the moon has set. The problem is that this fixed hour of 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock p.m. corresponds to 20 minutes after sundown only around the time of the equinoxes, not during the winter, when the sun sets as much as an hour earlier in the day, or during the summer, when it sets as much as an hour later. So we need some kind of correction mechanism to account for the change in the position of the moon during that time of up to an hour. The Rambam explains this in Halacha He, and the method is summarized in a chart in the image file accompanying this recording, which we now explain. Please look at the chart while listening in order to understand the explanation. A certain angle is added or subtracted from the calculated Emtza HaYareach depending on the time of year. The horizontal axis of the chart lists the times of year, based on Mazal. Tale at the left end is the beginning of spring, through Dagim at the right end, which is at the end of winter. The black horizontal line segments indicate the correction factor at each time of year. Around the equinoxes, the middle of Dagim through the middle of Tale in the spring, and the middle of Betula through the middle of Moznaim in the autumn, there is no correction factor, so the horizontal line is at zero. As spring progresses and into summer, sundown gets later, and so we add an angle to the Emsa HaYareach to account for its additional motion during that time. This angle is 15 minutes, a quarter of a degree, for about 6 weeks, starting in the middle of Tale, then grows to 30 minutes, half a degree, for about 2 months, then goes back to 15 minutes again for about another 6 weeks at the end of the summer. Recall that the Emsa HaYareach moves in its orbit about half a degree every hour, so these correction factors account for sundown being half an hour or an hour later than when it occurs at the equinoxes. After the autumn equinox, as autumn progresses and into winter, sundown gets earlier, and so we subtract an angle from the Emsa HaYareach to account for the shorter day. This angle is 15 minutes, a quarter of a degree, for about 6 weeks, starting in the middle of Moznaim, then 30 minutes, half a degree, for about 2 months, and finally 15 minutes again for about another 6 weeks at the end of the winter. Again, because the Emsa HaYareach moves about half a degree each hour, these correction factors account for sundown being half an hour or an hour earlier than it is at the equinoxes. When we use the actual position of the Emsa HaYareach in the next perek in order to determine the Makom HaYareach Amiti, the observed position of the moon in the sky, it needs to be with this correction factor taken into account, so that we are always referring to the Emsa HaYareach about 20 minutes after sundown, when the moon can be seen at the start of the month. We note in closing that while we have a correction mechanism to account for the movement of the moon between the fixed hour of 6 p.m. and the key moment of 20 minutes after sundown, The Rambam provides nothing similar to account for the motion of the sun during that time. The reason for this is that the motion of the sun is so slow, less than 1 degree every day, that its movement during an hour or less is negligible. But the Emtz HaYareach travels much more quickly, as we mentioned, over 13 degrees each day, which comes out to more than half a degree each hour. So its movement over half an hour to an hour is significant enough that it must be taken into account and corrected for. Thank you for joining me in learning today's parak of the Mishnah Torah. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas you'd like to share, I'd be happy to hear from you. Send me an email at mtorahyomi@gmail.com. That's M as in Mishnah, Torah, T-O-R-A-H, Yomi, Y-O-M-I, @gmail.com. Come back tomorrow as we continue with our next parak.